The official announcement of the 2018 Leopold Award winner, which is Gary and Amy Kamak at the Kamak Ranch out at Union Center. And so, Arlo, we thought we'd bring you back in. We'll talk a little bit about Kamak's coming up here, but just kind of wanted to, you know, circle back to you after a year of Leopold events and situations and opportunities, and just kind of wanted to see what the last year has meant to you and your family with that award.
Well, it's been a big year, and I obviously want to congratulate the Kamak family on their award, and I want to wish them the best, and I hope they enjoy the ride. Like you said, Pete, it was a year of events, very much so. I mean, it was a huge honor, a huge experience. You asked about what it meant. It meant a lot to us as a family. It means more to us every day. You know, the people who stopped and called or sent letters, notes, congratulating the folks and congratulating all of us on the award, that really meant the most to us. And then there's so much concrete stuff that's going to be in the social media for forever, a YouTube video and a tour and, you know, all the media, like the written media and that was published about the folks. It's very meaningful for all of us. We didn't appreciate it too much at the time, but as we step away from the award, it means more and more to us every day.
Yeah, that's you know, that's what a lot of the winners say, that it's hard to wrap your head around it at first, and then after you go through it and reflect back. And, you know, what does it mean? What do you think it means for you guys as you look at the ranch every day? You know, what impact has it had on your thought processes or even on your management?
Well, you know, when you win an award like that, the bar is set so much higher. you look at your own inadequacies, your own failures, and you look at that more critically. You notice the things that, yeah, you know, we really shouldn't have won the Leopold Award because we're totally not with it in this area. Or, you know, we could do so much better on this. Or, you know, you look at it more like every square foot instead of every acre.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's very consistent. You know, and I wouldn't say you shouldn't have won the Leopold Award, but I think that, you know, there's so many facets to management, and I think that's kind of the take home, is that it's about the land, it's about the family, it's about the resources, it's about the finances, it's about, you know, the total package of whole ranch management. And we just wanted to reach out to you today and again congratulate you guys and kick off the new Leopold year.
Yeah.
So, thanks for joining us, Arla. I really appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you. And so, yeah, so we're celebrating the Kamak Ranch. Do you know Gary?
No, I don't. But, you know, the thing is, these Leopold Awards, it isn't something they've done over a year or two.
No. This
is a long time. I mean, it's not one that you just say, okay, I'm going to qualify for this
year.
I mean, you've started, Pete, 20 years ago, 25?
Oh, absolutely.
Or more.
You know,
yeah.
Kamak's kind of built their ranch. You know, you can see their stories online. There's some of that stuff's starting to come out. But they pretty much started from scratch, you know, 40 years ago, and have built quite an operation, including they've got their side businesses as well. And so it really is. It's something that is built toward. And, you know, a lot of the Leopold winners have a pretty good resume of other awards that they've won, whether it's an ESAP award or something like that. So not always, but you know, it's a competitive award. And that being said, you know, we really want people to apply for this award. You know, we want to see that competition. We want to see that those stories are out there everywhere.
Yeah. And what's nice about it is having some winners. And we had Capriva's over in Raymond. Now we got the Hammonds. It's nice that people in the area can go and talk to them and maybe see what they're doing, because everybody can learn from some of this. And
oh, absolutely.
We can make some advancements in these grasses, because that's one resource that's kind of short for us.
It is, and it's, you know, and I mean, it's obviously the sun's shining. You know, we're a little bit behind on green up and things like that, and this, our grassland resources, I mean, we talk about every time I'm on the air, is it's a limited resource, and we really got to take care of it. In fact, I gave that talk last night. I talked to the Wildlife Conservation Club at SDSU about those exact things, that how we care for these grasslands is going to define where we are as far as profitability and really the future of our ranching and cattle industry going forward.
And you're talking about grasslands, you're talking about pastures as well, because some people, when you talk about grasslands. They think they don't think of pastures as a grassland, but it is.
Yeah, we always have to really kind of qualify that. You know, rangeland, pasture, grasslands, what we're talking about is the green side up out there on these lands. And in a lot of times, obviously, it includes planted grasses or restored grasses and tame grasses too. You know, we just need to make sure we've got some of that perennial cover in a healthy state on the range.
Well, it seems like when we have some of the drier years like we did last year, we're right in that middle, sometimes we start abusing it. And I think there's things we can do to maybe stop some of that, like some cover crops and some of that. It's a big
the biggest challenge I think I see in my job is when we have something that we can tangibly promote as an opportunity or an option, like cover crops, crop residue grazing, livestock integration, I look at that as an opportunity to take some pressure off of rangelands. Producers don't always look at it the same way. You know, sometimes they look at it as an opportunity to add more livestock, add more head, and we don't really reduce pressure, you know, and so that's not a criticism, it's just a reality. And so I think we have to always think about where does our profit margin really lie? And a lot of that is controlling those inputs. And if we can create the situation where our grass assets are really, we're allowing them to work at their most profitable potential. And a lot of times we're not doing that. A lot of times we're on that grass too early, too long, too continuous, you know.
You know, you talk about they want to increase their herd, but many times if you put restless grasses, pastures in the fall, put them on cover crops, sometimes you can increase your numbers a little bit. Not too far, so you're right back in the same situation, right. But you can increase them because your pasture is going to be much healthier coming in the spring.
Yeah, and, you know, you can listen to people like me talk all day, but, you know, it's great when we have ranchers, you know, spreading these messages. And I know Doug Seek just recorded a spot for the Grassland Coalition on, you know, and he really laid it out well, that showing up at the sale barn with the fattest calf is not showing up necessarily with the most profitable calf. Yeah. And, you know, it's just nice to hear and get it from the horse's mouth in that sense. So,
but yeah, but we're seeing more and more people maybe taking a little more pride in their pastures. I think it used to go on always wasteland and right. Whatever didn't work, and they would put it out and they never cared for it.
It's a continuous conversation. You know, I've been in this job 5 years now, and the more people that are engaged in the conversation, the more people that you can impact. And it takes some time. You know, it takes some time. And there's still a lot of people that we don't necessarily reach for one reason or another. But there's a lot that we do, and it's that spillover and that positive message of, you know. Whether, you know, not everybody's programmed like I am, you know, not everybody sees it as the full package and the ecology and the soil health and everything, but there's always a profit conversation there. And I think that's where you can start, is that if you're not maximizing your profitability, let's talk about that. And the cool thing about it is that they all go together really nicely. The ecology, the profitability, the habitat, all of those things, if managed well, you know, is a more complete package and a better buffer for, you know, spring storms, summer drought, blizzards, etc. So.
Well, let's take a break with Pete, and we'll be back. Maybe we'll talk a little production and so on coming up. Okay. Welcome back to Ag Hour. Chuck and Mark here in the studio on a beautiful sunshiny day. Along with me is Pete Malman. And Pete, let's... We were talking
golf
about
club, golf club.
We were talking about that. We were. I guess I can't even. Don't even know.
No,
I. Well, he is. I know he's all over. He goes all over. I'm going to start calling him Dwayne Beckier pretty soon once he goes all over. Anyway.
Dwayne's got a driver.
Yeah, Dwayne's got. You don't have one yet. Anyway, you got a lot of events coming up. Let's get to that. Maybe if we have time, we'll get back to some of the grass.
Yeah, it's not just SDSU. It's kind of Grassland Coalition, Soil Health Coalition, partners, et cetera. So I guess we'll just kind of go through it by date. And if you hear anything that sparks your interest, call the office. Call Jan at 882-5140. And get with me and I can give you more information on these, because it's quite a list. But you know what is really exciting is we got a lot going on in grasslands, rangeland, pasture management type stuff. And so it starts with in June 5th through 7th, there is a South Dakota professional and youth range camp. And this is tailored for professionals in ag lending, and anyone that really works with ranchers. Dave Olala and Tate Lance with NRCS. Dave Olala is from with SDSU. They put on a wonderful school, and the people that go through this really come out of it thinking that they've got a much better communication with the people that they're lending to, especially, and giving advice to. So I got to really talk that one up. Coming up June 8th and 9th is the annual bird tour, and that's going to be at the Lyle Perman and Doug Seek ranches by Selby and Lowry, South Dakota. Great family event. Wonderful time. Learn a little bit about birds, a little bit about grass. It's just it's a really neat opportunity for ranchers and wildlife enthusiasts to get together. It's a fun one. There's a soil health tour coming up in Moody County on June 12th. And then also June 12th through the 13th, the Soil Health Coalition is bringing Ray Archuleta back to South Dakota.
Okay.
And he does a phenomenal job. Yep. Just an incredible job. So they're going to be gonna be up in Spink County. They'll be in Dakota Lakes out by Pier, and then be in the winter area those 2 days. So if that is something that you'd like more information on, again, give me a call and I can get you the info. Coming up June 20th through the 22nd is a big one. We're hosting the 10th annual Grass-Fed Exchange Conference in Rapid City. And this thing is really going to be neat. We've got tours to bison ranches, beef ranches. We've got multi-species grazing tours, sheep. We're going to be doing ultrasound carcass testing as one of the demonstrations. And then a day and a half of conference, great speakers, breakout sessions. We've got people coming from all over the country on this. We've got some South Dakotans speaking as well. Breakout sessions on basically grass-fed and grass-finished livestock is going to be the theme. But it goes well beyond that. Even if you're not a grass-fed, grass-finished producer, there's a lot to be gotten out of this conference. So
the ultrasound, you're going to be looking at carcass confirmation.
We're doing something pretty cool on the grass-fed side. We're going to have animals that are like age. So I think we're going to have a steer carcass hanging, and a close relative of his of same age on the hoof. So they'll be ultrasounding the live animal and then showing what that carcass looks like hanging, so people get a better understanding of what they're looking at. And we're going to be doing the same thing for sheep. And then bison, we're not doing a bison carcass, but you know, it's pretty neat stuff. Okay, so that's in June, and then we get into July. Oh, one thing I did miss is the June 7th here locally, very locally. The Nature Conservancy, Game Fish and Parks, and County Weed Supervisors are sponsoring a tour in Grant County called the Good, Bad, and Similar-Looking Plants Tour. And it's kind of the third year of this event, and Joe Blastic with the Nature Conservancy is kind of the primary organizer. He does a great job with this. Just to get people out in the field, get producers out, looking at these plants and learning what's good, what's bad, what looks like a weed, what is or isn't, because there's a lot of things that look like each other. And, you know, and the whole impetus here is let's not spend a bunch of money managing things that we don't have to manage, you know, against. And so it's a really neat opportunity. And
just because it isn't a grass plant doesn't mean they don't eat it,
you know. Yeah. And I just completed some trials last year on goldenrod and found that, you know, at certain times of the year on our trial pastures, cattle were eating about 60% of the goldenrod, but nobody knows it. Because we don't look close enough.
Well, because it's all yellow.
It's all yellow. So anyway, that's a great tour. That's coming up June 7th, and you can call me for more information on that one. Getting into July, here in Watertown, we're starting the new kickoff Grassland Management School, very much like the grazing school format and the soil health school format. Okay. 2.5 days right here in Watertown at Extension, and we will have we're going to be going out in the field every day on that, really walking around on new grass plantings. We're going to talk about soil prep, seed mixes, what to expect post-cropping. We're going to talk about chemical residue, what's working, what's not working. So we're hoping it's going to be the cutting edge of what's currently happening. We've got a lot of great instructors that we're co-oping with on this thing. So
when's that again?
That's July 25th through the 27th.
Because that's nice, because so many times we sit in the classroom and learn about it, but we don't get to see it. And a lot of people are visual learners.
Absolutely. I'm that way. If I can't see it, you know, and I can't walk around on it, it doesn't sink in. And that's why we wanted to do, you know, we know that the heat might be an issue in July. We've got air conditioned buses on this deal. And
we've been waiting for heat.
Yeah. I hate heat. I'm so much happier at 50 degrees than 80. But anyway, that particular event, we wanted to wait till those plants are in flower so people can see what's coming in these restorations. And on a side note, we're going to be doing some new trial plots up at the Northeast Farm for SJSU, which we just got the money to do that. So I'm hoping to have kind of a living classroom at the Northeast Farm on grass management and grass plantings for the public to be able to visit really anytime. So I'm excited about that. Coming up in July 27th, also in Corson County, is the Happy Cow Tour between the Grassland Coalition and South Dakota Cattlemen's. I got to revert back to June here. Wow, we do have some more June events. We got a lot going on. So June 26th and 27th, the Redfield Office of NRCS and Spink County Conservation District are sponsoring a tour going up to Gabe Brown's ranch for a couple of days. Which
Gabe
will be
spoke here.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be a great opportunity for folks in June. I'm sorry. I just made a mistake. That tour is June 28th and 29th. June 26th and 27th in Redfield is Rangeland and Soil Days for kids and adults. So that's also coming up. We've got the Soil Health School coming up in September, Grazing School coming up in September. So there's a lot. And then the South Dakota Grassland Coalition is going to be sponsoring a variety of pasture walks all summer. So
you guys
a lot
got a
of opportunities
page down there.
There is SDGrass.org.
Okay.
Is
so
the Grassland Coalition's website. And a lot of this will be cross-posted to iGrow. You know, we work just jointly all the time. So what is SDSU and Grassland programming a lot of times just overlaps right with the Grassland Coalition. We just do a lot of joint programming that way. So
there's some good ones, especially
lot coming
up. Local.
You know, and I encourage people, you know, the cost of some of the schools is $180 if you're not a member, or $150 if you are. But really, it's stepping away from the operation for a couple of days that allows you to come back and take a new, fresh look at what you're doing. And we never get negative comments on these things. People really, really think that it's worth the value. And they, you know, changes come in big waves sometimes, or in small steps. But
the nice thing is you can walk out and see it after you look at it and in the classroom. And that's really great.
Yeah.
I think that's
we've got, I mean, compared to 5 years ago, the amount of opportunity for people to learn more about grasslands is amazing.
Well, I think we are turning the corner on this, that we're starting to take more pride in the grasses and what we can do, because we just can't find any grass. I mean,
no.
If you can, it's pretty expensive.
Yeah. Yep.
So there are some. Let's talk a little about the grasses then. Are you done with
your... Yeah, I think that's enough announcements for now. Again, if anyone's got any questions on those, call us at the office in Watertown here, and we'll get you squared away.
Let's talk a little about, you know, calving pastures. They were wet and close. What is some of the best grasses to put out there that you could run cattle on to recover really quickly that have just in that small area?
If you can manage a calving pasture, you know, and we talk a lot about calving pastures and sacrifice pastures and things, but when you can time it right, really the best thing you can do that I've seen, and a lot of people attest to this, if you can get a good warm season mix of, you know, predominantly big blue stem or side oats or something like that, and, you know, so you're calving on that right this time of year, you know, we'd like to see people go a little later, but if you're on those patches and you get off of them, you know, before mid-June, a lot of times you'll get that big heavy grass flush, which makes an incredible calving opportunity for the next year. Warm, dry, you know, grasses that are, you know, the calf can easily hide, but that's not so much as important as just having a nice, dry, kind of natural straw bed for them. And I know the guys that are doing that just really love it. You know, they're usually higher, drier, and just a healthier environment.
Well, even if they aren't, it isn't a calf, just turn the cows out after a couple of days. It's one that you can be protected from the... Mother Nature, the wind and everything else.
And, you know, for these later calvers, and I mean, we just went through this period of pretty tough weather, and a lot of guys were wishing, gosh, I wish those calves were still inside, right? And when you can push that calving date back a month, and, you know, again, Doug Seek talked about that, and I don't have to repeat all that, but there's so much opportunity in working with nature versus working against nature. You know, timing that calving so those calves are dropping here, you know, 2 weeks from now versus now, warm, dry, and you don't have to help them as much, you know. Those cows are getting some exercise in that third trimester. They're taking in some green grass. There's just a lot of benefits to that, you know, and we've talked about this on the radio before. You know, there's a reason that deer, elk, buffalo, everybody else drops their calves in May and in June. And
you get to some of these, it's a busy time of the year.
I know it's balanced, but I mean, as far as that perfect scenario for a calf to hit the ground, you know, as far as the vegetation, dryness, you know, warmth, that's, and again, that's when those grasses can kind of take that. Those early calving pastures, a lot of times, you know, when they get mucked up too much, like we kind of had this year, it's hard to say how those are going to come out of it. A lot of them are going to come back with brome and bluegrass, and that's kind of what they're going to be.
And that's what a lot of our calving pastures are, I think, pretty much brome. But anyway, I guess Mark's throwing the pointer finger up to say wrap it up here pretty soon. But, you know, the thing is, we went through a lot of feed and bedding this last month, probably we didn't anticipate.
Right.
So guys are going to try sneaking out there early on the pastures, and that's one thing you really don't want to do.
Yeah, I mean, those that have been on a few pastures already, and, you know, it's soft. It's soft out there, and that hoof action can kind of tear things up. Now, is that a problem? Well, depends on how you look at it, but every time we open up that sod, it's an opportunity for something, for a seed to land there that we don't want, you know. And that's kind of how I look at it. Not only just compaction and root health, but opening it up to invasion. And then you think about that. So is my short-term problem this year worth a long-term problem of inviting more weeds into my system that I have to fight for, you know, for the long haul? So it's about balance. But at the same time, do I always have an answer? Well, where should I go with those cows? Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I don't have those answers, you know.
Well, and it's the same thing as get them out to too early and your grass production goes
down.
Your
production goes downhill too.
And you can't recover that.
Yeah, so I know feed's expensive, but, you know, it's a balancing act.
Well, Mark's getting kind of excited over here, Pete.
He's way more in charge than he lets on.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Pete's a busy guy. He's in such demand that we probably shouldn't keep him, you know, because I think the police escort is here to take him back.
I did want to comment that I didn't hear the duck go off. So
I put her on silence.
Oh, did you?
Okay. It's breeding season for the ducks. So they're preoccupied.
Okay. Anyway, Pete, thank you. That's another thing we could talk about.